It is time for Kaleidoscope on KDOM, and today we get to talk with Liz Stahl with the University of Minnesota Extension Office. Liz, how are you today?
We're doing good.
We appreciate you taking time out, as usual, to give us an update on what's going on. And we have a little bit of good news to start with today. We've had some moisture.
Yes, that's right. We have been looking for moisture in our part of the state. You know, you look at across most of southern Minnesota, there's only a few counties like in south central Minnesota that aren't in any category of drought, but most of the part of, you know, again, southern Minnesota has been under at least abnormally dry. And then if you go to the westernmost counties of southern Minnesota, you know, they're under moderate to severe drought. So you're right, you know, getting some moisture here has been very welcome. I know just this week, you know, a lot of areas got a few tenths up to half an inch. We had some pockets that got over a couple inches of rain. Now, that's a lot of rain to get in a short amount of time. That can create some issues too, but overall it's been very welcome to get some moisture, and hopefully we do have some more coming up here in the forecast.
Absolutely. I know around here we got right at an inch, a little above, little below here Wednesday night, so that was welcome for sure. All right,
great,
so
yeah.
We'll take it as much as we can get, but when we talk about how important it is, timing is really important for that moisture to come. So what crop stages, where are we at with them to where is this the time when we really need that moisture?
Well, you know, of course you need moisture throughout the whole season to get everything going. The most critical time, you know, when the crop's using the most, that's around that pollination time and silking. But still, you know, we have to have all that machinery in place, so we need to have the moisture now too. And, you know, if you look at where the crop stages are at now, again, this week, you know, I was out checking at both our research and outreach centers at Lamberton and Waseca. That early planted corn was around that V5 to V6 stage, so that's when you have like leaf blades that have an actual collar on them. So at that point, that growing point is above the ground. So let's say if you go into side dress nitrogen, you run over some plants, once that growing point's above the ground, you pretty much wiped out that plant. You know, it's not going to recover if you knock it off at the surface. So that's one thing to think about now, you know, at this stage of the game. But again, crops moving along, and soybeans, you know, those two, you know, a lot of the beans I've been looking at are around that V1 stage right now. So that's where that first trifoliate is open. And another thing, just looking at fields in the area too, you can see kind of overall, a lot of fields have been having pretty good weed control. That's good. Now, there were some spots at the station it's always nice to do a little ground truthing just to see, you know, we know we've got weed seeds in the seed bank. Boy, if we didn't have any pre or post herbicides out there, you know, we'd likely have lamb's quarter over a foot tall, because that's, again, untreated areas, that's where the lamb's quarter is at. You know, we've got water hemp, giant ragweed, velvet leaf, all those weeds I have been coming up. So I guess I just want to, you know, remind people with the early planting dates that we had, you know, again, hopefully you had a pre-herbicide out there, and that, you know, if you planted really early, we could be running out of steam here earlier in the season than you're used to. So be really watching that to get those post-emergence herbicides on in a timely manner. You want to get those on before the weeds exceed 3 inches in height, and it's always a good idea to put another residual product out there too, just to help us out, you know, with water hemp control too, since that does emerge over a long period of time in the season.
Mm. And I'm guessing that the more moisture we get, the more the weeds like to shoot up too.
Oh, they'll like that too. Yep, they like the heat, they like the moisture, a lot of things will be hitting their exponential growth stages, so things can move pretty fast in one day of warm temperatures and adequate moisture.
Yeah. Now, you mentioned you did get out and check your cover crop plots. How are they looking?
Yeah, I always get worried about saying when things are great, because you get paranoid, you don't want to jinx anything, but boy, the cover crop plots are looking really good. at our Research and Outreach Center in Lamberton and our Research and Outreach Center in Waseca. We've got a number of different trials out there. One of them is looking at termination timing of cereal rye cover crop with soybeans. And we're getting some really nice biomass from the cereal rye cover crop again this year. And you can see that, of course, you know, the later you're terminating that cover crop, the more biomass we're getting out there. These trials really just demonstrate how big of a role that termination timing, you know, the has on versus, you know, we have different seeding rates out there too. Terminating later has a much bigger impact on the amount of biomass than your seeding rate does. So that's one take home that we're seeing with this too. And you also can see, you know, in our plots that we're working with, we aren't necessarily looking at weed control, but it's something you can observe out in the fields. And you do see that the cover crop does help delay emergence or just help have lower weed emergence. That's another nice plus we can get with cover crops. But one thing, too, that you got to keep in mind, where we do have, you know, we terminated like 10 days before planting, at planting, and then 10 days after planting. Where we terminated 10 days after planting, those soybeans are about one stage behind where we didn't have any cover crop, or we terminated, you know, like the 10 days before planting. So that's one thing just to keep in mind. Will it have an impact on yield? Probably not, you know, but that's, again, of course, something we're going to measure. We haven't seen a big impact on yield typically by those termination dates. But again, it's just one thing to keep in mind. You know, you do see a little lag and development early on in the season here, but soybeans can really compensate for a lot of things. So it'll be interesting to check that out as the season moves on here.
Yeah, definitely. Just something to kind of keep your eye on.
That's right, yeah. And I just, you know, I always encourage people when they're trying something new, have as much information as you can get. You don't want to have these surprises, like if somebody's never tried cover crops and they're like, oh, my soybeans are behind, you know, my neighbors that doesn't have any cover crop out there. It's like, well, yeah, that can happen early on in the season here, but again, does that have an impact at the end? You know, we typically don't see that. So
very good. All right. And you mentioned be as informed as you can. Going to the website is always a good idea when you're looking for information.
That's right. We've got a lot of information on there. We're always working to try to, you know, get more on there, too, and always working on updates. So if you haven't been on the website for a while, hey, check it out. We do have, you know, again, always making updates to that. And another way, too, is to check out some of our field days that we have coming up. For example, further to the east, you know, at Waseca, they have their agronomy field tour that's coming up on June 16th. They'll have topics all the way from weed management to soil fertility. We'll also be highlighting our cover crop plots there. And then also June 25th, that's our big cover crop field day at Lamberton. So, again, encourage people to check that out. If you're planning cover crops or interested in learning more about cover crops, that will have registration start at 8:30, and then the tour will start right at 9. And then also we do have some pesticide safety education field days coming up. These are just some dates for the calendar. We've got July 16th at Waseca, August 13th at Lamberton. And what's unique about these, you know, people are used to recertifying, you know, in a meeting over the winter meeting time. But, you know, if you're a private applicator and you're up for recertification in 2027, so you got to look ahead, you can get recertified at one of these workshops. It's a newer thing, but again, just it's a really nice opportunity. We've got a lot of different plots out in the field.
And the recertification will be coming up before you know it.
That's right. And again, that's for commercial and private applicators. So, those are really, really nice events. Everybody that, you know, we've talked to has had very positive comments. They, again, much rather be seeing plants out in the field than, you know, sitting in a room in the middle of winter. But, hey, you know, we'll do both.
Definitely. All right. Are there any other events we need to mention while we have you?
Yeah, and I want to remind people, too, about our Strategic Farming Field Notes program. That is going on every Wednesday morning from 8 to 8:30. And, again, that started back here in May, and that will continue on through August. So in that session, it's recorded as a podcast, so if you can't join live, you can always listen to the podcast. But we really try to hit things that are relevant for the time, or things that are, issues that are coming up. So it's more, really trying to hit those issues in a timely manner. So again, that's our strategic farming field notes. We do thank the Minnesota Soybean Research and Promotion Council and Minnesota Corn Research and Promotion Council for sponsoring that program. But if you want to sign up for that, just check out our strategic farming website. We've got the registration links there. And then all these other programs too, and there's other field days coming up throughout the state too. Just go on our Extension Crops website at z.umn.edu/crops and look under upcoming events, and you should find out more information on all those events.
Very good. All right, Liz, anything else we need to mention today?
Well, I guess there's a lot of things happening right now, and I do encourage people to check out our information right from the source. We've already had our own little adventures with AI. You could get me talking about this for a while, but somebody's like made up a video on some of our research, but it's not our research. They just used our name and the university. Yeah, so that's why I just really do encourage people, hey, go to the source when you talk with us. You're going to really know. You're getting information straight from the source. It's a whole new adventure frontier, right?
But yep, for sure.
Yeah.
But it is important to verify, and the best way to do it is to go straight to your website.
Exactly. We're more than happy to talk to people, and we really do try however we can to get our information out to people. But, if you want to get it from us, you check out these events, and that is the best way, again, to hear the information directly from us.
All right. Well, Liz, thank you for talking with us today.
Sounds great. Thank you.
All right. And that's Liz Stahl with the University of Minnesota Extension Office. And that will do it for Kaleidoscope this morning on KDOM.